The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. And for just one more day, we are housed right here in, I think they call it Studio D here in Bristol. For those that are watching on the live stream, first of all, thank
They
you
do indeed it. Call it Studio D.
Studio D, because there's a big prompter. That's what we have here in a television studio, that when you're reading a script, the prompter has that script inside of it. We are unscripted. And trust me, I don't say that to boast. I say that because if we were this awkward and mediocre without prompter, or with prompter, that would be a major indictment of us.
It would be. I'm just gonna let this is you know, a lot of this is for everyone out there, but this specific comment is merely only for Daniel Dopp and Haley Burns. When you said Studio D, I just want you to know there were a lot of jokes that ran through my head, and I decided, you know what? I'm just going to let it slide. I'm just going to let it slide.
I appreciate that, Matthew Bailey. Thank you.
For all three of you that are wondering why we're in Studio D today, the answer is because the NBA draft is taking place tonight, Wednesday, over in our studio. Literally, our studio.
Don't you feel bad for the NBA draft? Like, I mean, let's be clear, right? The NBA is a, you know, is a massive multi-billion dollar, incredibly important partner to us here at ESPN. We love the NBA.
And instead, Adam Silver.
Poor Adam Silver's got a, is in the way the studio is set up. So it's like they're in Studio E, and in Studio E, there's kind of four different sections. You won't be able to tell when you watch it on TV, but there's like four different sections of the studio. And one of the corners is the set in which we do our Fantasy Focus show.
Yeah.
And one of the other corners is the set of the Fantasy show on ESPN Plus. So poor Adam Silver, when he's sitting there saying, like, the Orlando Magic select, is going to be sitting there looking at puppets.
Well, how about this?
In his foreground, like, yeah, the poor guy.
They'll figure that. They'll get the puppets stored away.
Put them behind a wall or something like that. Adam Silver's a pro. If anyone can handle that, I'm sure he can.
He's a really good dude. I have an Adam Silver story. So you may remember, as a Lakers fan, that not this past summer, 2020, but last summer, or two summers ago, 2018, the summer of 2018, very influential summer in the NBA, because LeBron James, the probably second best player, in my estimation, of all time in the NBA, was a free agent. And not only was LeBron a free agent, but there was massive league-wide trickle-down impact. 6 hours before free agency began, I was on Nantucket, where I spent a lot of my time during the summer, and I walk outside with Chapin. We're going, I don't know, walking the dog or something. And who do I see? 6 hours before free agency, like a massive league-altering period of free agency. Adam Silver, jogging down the road, like in our neighborhood. And I was like, he clearly knew that I knew who he was, so he sort of tempoed down. And I was like, I got to be honest with you, Mr. Silver, free agency begins in 6 hours. While continuing to run, he looks over and he goes, I don't pick where they go, and it just keeps going.
Just a great line.
Just kept walking by you, running by you. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I have an Adam Silver story, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You guys shared a studio?
Yeah, no. This is 100% true story. I've written about this in my book and multiple times. But before I came to ESPN, I spent 2 years working at the NBA as their fantasy consultant to help them with their fantasy business. And I did some content for NBA.com and NBA TV. I was a fantasy basketball writer back in the day. Right. The very first fantasy column I ever wrote in my life was a fantasy basketball column. And so two very quick stories. First off, the very first meeting I ever got with the NBA, the idea was to pitch a fantasy basketball TV show to them for NBA TV. And in the meeting, like, I just started talking about all the different things that I thought they could do around fantasy basketball in addition to the show. And at the end of it, this guy at the head of the table, it was with the NBA Entertainment. At the end of the table, the guy says, those are a bunch of really smart ideas. We know we need to do more in fantasy basketball. Why don't you come work for us? And that guy was Adam Silver.
How about that?
He was running NBA Entertainment. This is when, obviously, David Stern was running the league. And the other piece of it that I will say is, so I'm under contract to the NBA. So I go and work for the NBA, and they were absolutely great to work for. They were awesome, awesome people, and I love them very much to this day. I had a multi-year contract with them, and the offer from ESPN came, you know, to end up buying the website and come here to do what I do now. And the NBA easily could have said, nah, we got a deal. Sorry. Like, because I was exclusive to the NBA. And the NBA didn't ask me for anything. They just said, that sounds like a great opportunity. Go with God.
That's awesome.
And that was Adam Silver's call.
Yeah.
Adam Silver easily could have said, like, and through somebody else could have said, you know, listen, we really like the work you do, or, hey, ESPN has to pay us something, or you have to pay us something to get out of this deal. They could have done, because I've been in deals like that where people.
We could have sent the Knicks a conditional second round pick or something.
There's a zillion different ways, which they were completely contractually. They weren't going to do that. But you understand, I don't think people understand this because I've been in business a long time and I've seen the wrong side of that. And there were a million different things that they could have done that they would have been completely in the right to do, and they didn't. They went the other way, and they said, absolutely, wow, that sounds like an awesome, amazing opportunity. This was Adam Silver.
Yeah.
That sounds like an awesome, amazing opportunity for you. Congratulations. Go with God.
So he will be
I just, anyway, I love Adam Silver as a person.
Yes. Yeah,
I just want to say that.
Genuinely good human. And
he's an awesome man.
The reason we're talking about this is because, again, we're back in our normal studio tomorrow, and something that does tie to the NBA draft is, as we know, one of the major decisions that could be made or could be not made this offseason is if Giannis Antetokounmpo signs a supermax contract with the Milwaukee Bucks. That decision could come within the next week. But a decision that was made a long time ago was the Bucks using a first-round pick in a draft that otherwise proved to be very, very worthless. The Bucks went all in on a prospect, 15th overall, an 18-year-old from Greece. And to learn more about how that decision came to be, and there are so many great anecdotes, check out the latest Woj Pod. It's a three-part series called The Giannis Draft. I was explaining to the guys before, some of it actually almost brings you to tears because the world could use a lot more people like Giannis. And I'm not talking about the fact that he is physically gifted to the point that maybe no other 7-plus footer has ever been. I'm talking about the human Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I believe would be very wise to stay there in Milwaukee based off what he has built. But I digress. Let's move forward with the football, and we got a lot to get to today, and we're going to start with a couple of injury updates. Some news yesterday out of Green Bay. Alan Lazard was activated off of IR. We knew this was coming eventually, but now it's here, Matthew. So MVS has been pretty solid recently, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. That being said, we've been trying to figure out a wide receiver too and make it happen in Green Bay for like 3 years now. Does this mean anything fantasy-wise?
I don't. I don't think it does.
I agree.
And for two reasons. I don't think it means anything for Alan Lazard because I'm not sure I'm picking him up or even – I'm definitely not starting him, and I don't think I'm picking him up until I see something on the field, right? So he's been out for a while. MVS has sort of established himself a little bit. So I don't think it means anything in terms of Alan Lazard. There are other wide receivers out there. You know, Michael Pittman's still available in over 50% of leagues. Like, right? I mean, there's a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys out there that are better than Lazard with, you know, higher probability in terms of fantasy success. And then you go back to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Marquez Valdez-Scantling's fantasy value comes from one or two plays a game. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, the last two games have been awesome, and they've both been made by basically one huge play. He's had, he had the multi-touchdown game. I get it. But, like, in essence, basically, if you're starting Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you're hoping for a 60-yard touchdown.
And by the way,
that's not affected by whether Alan Lazard's on the field or not.
And remember, not this past game, but the game before was the week they played on Thursday night against the 49ers. And for, like, the first 20 minutes, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, who do a great job on the broadcast, obviously,
yes, they do.
Were referencing how, like, Aaron Rodgers is having trust issues for everybody not named Devontae Adams, and at least part of the conversation centered around Marquez Valdez-Scantling. So,
because I feel like he early in that game, like, he dropped a crucial third
he dropped
down,
a wide open pass,
right? Yeah, that would have converted on third down and kept a drive alive. And so, yeah, I mean, anyway, so it doesn't affect MVS's value, and it does not affect Alan Lazard, you know. You're starting Aaron Rodgers, you're starting Aaron Jones, you're starting Devontae Adams, and the rest are sort of like, how desperate are you?
Yeah. Our search for a second Packers wide receiver will have to last a little bit longer. Let's get right into the rankings, because there's a lot of interesting ranking conversations this week, and I think one of the most interesting is Jameis Winston.
Hey, now.
If I'm not mistaken, and someone can correct me here, but I am almost positive that Jameis Winston's last touchdown pass was against the Atlanta Falcons. I'm also almost positive that that pass went to Deion Jones, who plays linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons.
I was just going to say, what was the last touchdown pass he threw for his team?
That's right. It was the clincher when Jameis famously went 30 for 30 last year with 30-plus touchdowns and 30 interceptions. First player in NFL history to ever do that. The 30th interception was a pick six to Deion Jones, so an old foe for Jameis here this week. The Falcons have been just abysmal against quarterbacks again this year, dead last in terms of fantasy points per game allowed. Yet, Matthew, I'm having a harder time talking myself into starting Jameis Winston than you are. You've got him at 11. I've got him at 17.
Yeah, so I think it's a couple of different things here. So first off, understand that the starting quarterback position for the New Orleans Saints is a fantasy-friendly position.
Okay.
You think about Teddy Bridgewater last year. Weeks 3 through 7, when he filled in for Drew Brees, he was QB 13 on a points-per-game basis.
Mm.
Okay? Now, I also think, fantasy-wise, I'm not talking NFL. I want to be very clear here. Fantasy-wise, I think Jameis Winston is a better quarterback this year, or will be a better quarterback this year, than Teddy Bridgewater was last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of the YOLO nature of his game, because of the arm strength that he has, because of the weapons around him in New Orleans. I mean, like we've talked about, I think Emmanuel Sanders is an addition. They didn't lose anyone that they had last year.
Correct.
And it's an addition to Emmanuel Sanders. We can talk about Michael Thomas in a second. But so I think those things. And I also think they are playing the Falcons. No team in the NFL is giving up more fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks than the Atlanta Falcons. I think and by the way, the Saints defense has not been the Saints defense
right.
as of late. They have struggled. I think Matt Ryan and the Falcons coming off of the bye, they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. I think they put up points in this game. So the over-under in this game is particularly high. It's north of 50. I think the Falcons put up points here. So I think Jameis is going to have to throw. And listen, will there be an interception or two? Absolutely. It's not going to be pretty. I'm not saying the Saints win this game. But I am saying I think Jameis Winston puts up the 11th most fantasy points this week against the Atlanta Falcons. That's why I have him at QB 11.
I got to tell you, I don't know why. Like, my ranking, it almost feels like if you're going to rank Jameis Winston this week, it has to be, like, top 10 or outside the
top
20.
Or not at all. Right, yeah.
Because it doesn't, like, when was the last time Jameis had, like, a business-like effort, right? Like, just a solid 237 yards, one passing touchdown, zero picks, one sack taken, and 12 rushing yards. Like, when was the last time that happened? I don't really recall it because it's been a while from Jameis. I've got him at 17 in my rankings. I'm having a hard time placing him. The matchup is so good, but while you're correct in noting that Teddy last year was quarterback 13 on a points per game basis, we also know that scoring amongst quarterbacks is way up this year. So
correct.
If we're going to, he was at not even 17 points per game during that stretch. So it was fine, but if like the hope is to get a point or two more, then you could probably live with 17 or 18 from Jameis. It's an interesting one. I think the crux of the Jameis decision, though, probably comes back to what we talked about yesterday and the day before, is that how many people are looking to start a new quarterback this week that already didn't have a backup option. So if you're trying to replace Josh Allen, I get it,
right.
But you may already have a Matthew Stafford or a, you know,
but
whoever else.
Matthew Stafford's got the thumb issue,
that's fair.
Right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he's
yeah.
on the road.
Yep.
So I mean, like, those are all the guys that you're thinking at, right? That's the range that you're looking at here. I mean, for whatever it's worth, you know, I'm in that Agbo superhero league, playing Elizabeth Olsen this week. I have Josh Allen as my quarterback. I'm crushing, by the way. I think I'm second in points in that
NBD.
League. FYI, NBD, no big deal. Just me versus a bunch of superheroes. But anyway, Josh Allen's my quarterback.
Right.
So, and I've been rolling with Josh all. It's a 14-team league. I'm playing Jameis Winston this week in exchange for Josh Allen.
I think in a 14-team league, that about makes sense. But I'm just saying, I think that Jameis will not be, like, I think he'll be started in, like, maybe a third of leagues this week as opposed to 65, 70. Let's get to his teammate.
Right.
This is still weird to say.
Yeah.
And I got to ask Daniel about his apron hill at some point. But we've got Michael Thomas here, Matthew.
Yep.
And you continue to rank him as a top 6 wide receiver this week. I've got him at 12, and that sort of felt difficult to justify in some ways. I think what you're saying is that at some point the switch is going to be flipped and you're just going to go ahead and say, hey, this is the week that it flips.
So it's a couple of things, right? So it's, yes, partially it's that, right? So, you know, now appears to be fully healthy, right? This is a guy that, you know, has now run a route on 83% of dropbacks since returning, which is probably lower than he was last year, I bet, off the top of my head. But still, like, he's out there. And again, great matchup. They're playing the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I also think about how this week works. So Jameis Winston is like, boom, dude, you're the guy. So they've known that. Like, so he's getting all the first team reps, and Winston is going to get all the first team reps. and they're going to install packages for him, and they're probably going to dial it down a little bit in terms of and you know, not throw the entire book at Winston. But I just think if I'm the backup quarterback, I'm on a one-year prove-it deal, and I get a start, what am I doing? Am I trying to find Traquan Smith? Stop it. He's going to feed the big dog. Like, I just think that, like, my guess is that on most plays in the Saints playbook, Michael Thomas is the first read.
Yeah.
And so how many times do you think Jameis Winston is going to go through his progressions and you know, whatever, try to find Adam Trotman? It's going to be – I just think he's going to get a ton of targets in a great matchup from a quarterback that's more aggressive than Drew Brees is. And at some point, he's Michael freaking Thomas. Yeah.
Well, so, and the bottom line is that none of us are telling you to sit Michael Thomas. It's just that if one of us is, like, let's say there was a red zone question surrounding Michael Thomas, maybe generating 75 or 100 receiving yards this week, Matthew might be more confident in saying yes than myself and Daniel, who have him outside of our top 10. Everybody's starting Michael Thomas. We're just hopeful that this is the week he gets on.
But, I mean, but I think this is important. And I don't know where Mike Clay has him, but, like, you and Daniel both have him outside your top 10, which at the start of the year was crazy to think about.
It is, yeah.
That, you know, and so, right, I have him at 6, and so I sort of wanted to make a statement that I think this is Michael Thomas's week.
This is the week.
This is the week that you drafted him number one overall. You've been waiting. It's been a disappointing year. I think this is the week you get the Michael Thomas you drafted.
I am very much hopeful that you are correct. Maybe when I said that Jameis Winston might not be started in a ton of leagues, I forgot about some of the matchups we have this week, because Tom Brady and the Bucks host the Rams on Monday night, and the Rams defense has been no joke against opposing quarterbacks this season. They're second in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks per game. 14.2 points per game, and for anybody that has short-term memory loss and doesn't remember what happened on Sunday, they totally neutralized Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson under 10 fantasy points against the Rams this past weekend. Zero passing touchdowns. They made him look mortal. And Tom Brady is the GOAT, so he is more capable of doing this than basically every other quarterback in the NFL right now. But if you're starting Tom Brady, you need to be confident he's going to throw for 300-plus passing yards and multiple passing touchdowns. Do the math. 300 passing yards, 12 points. 2 touchdowns, 8 more points. So you need to have those two thresholds to get you to 20 with no fumbles, no interceptions for Tom Brady to cash in at, like, let's say 17, 18, 19 points, because he's not going to run at all. I mean, other than a 1-yard quarterback sneak, which is very difficult for us to predict. So is this a sit Tom Brady week?
Look, maybe. I mean, so I'm at 14.
Yep.
So I'm outside my top 10.
Right.
We just talked about Jameis Winston at 11. So, yes, I'm saying that if somehow you had Winston and Brady on your roster, crazy as it sounds, I'm saying that I prefer Winston this week.
To.
I mean, look, here's what I'm saying. If Tom Brady were my only quarterback on a team, I would not drop a valuable piece to go pick up a guy off of waivers just to start him this week instead of Tom Brady.
I agree.
But if you have been rolling with Brady and another quarterback, I would, because, again, you mentioned Russell Wilson. Outside of Kyler Murray, is there a hotter quarterback in the NFL than Russell Wilson? Is there a quarterback playing at a higher level? Forget fantasy. Just, is there a quarterback playing at a higher level in the NFL than Russell Wilson? And I think maybe Kyler Murray. Right,
yeah.
I mean, Russell Wilson is,
he slowed down a lot of late.
Yeah,
I think there are a few. I think Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray would come to mind. But still,
yeah,
I know what your point is. Yeah.
My point is that
if they can do it to Russell Wilson,
they can do it to Russell Wilson, who's a lot more mobile than Tom Brady, and that they were in the backfield a lot.
Yeah,
so they can do it. And by the way, the other thing is, think about 2 weeks ago against the Saints. So I mean, we saw what happened in a bad matchup to Tom Brady, and so. As great as Tom Brady is, and as big a fan as I am of him, both personally and professionally, like, this is a matchup that scares you. Rams have had 2 weeks. Again, Rams defense have had 2 weeks to prepare. Oh no, they haven't. They played last week. Sorry, but still, whatever. Like, it's a very, very good defense. They're allowing 14.2 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. They're second best in the NFL.
They're amazing.
To your point, Tom Brady adds nothing with his legs. So that's what you need out of Tom Brady to get him into your top 10. You need him to, you think he's going to throw for over 300 yards and multiple touchdown passes with no turnovers against the Rams. Does that happen? It certainly could. I would never bet against Tom Brady, but according to my ranks, listen, Tom Brady will play a better NFL game than Jameis Winston this week, but my rankings say that I think when the fantasy points are settled, Winston will have more than Brady.
Daniel, you have something to weigh in on, and I want to ask you, what exactly are you wearing right now?
Oh, this was a birthday gift from Mama Dop and Papa Dop. It's for when I'm doing heavy work, obviously.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to have to be able to talk up Tom Brady because I was told earlier, either you have faith in him or you don't. And for me, faith isn't wavering. Looks like some other people maybe faith does. But here's what I want to say this, all right? I want to look at Tom Brady's last 4 weeks because I understand everything that you guys are saying. I just want to talk on the other side of it. Last 4 weeks and where he finished.
Yep.
He was third. He was ninth. He was 31st.
Yep.
And then he finished first last week.
Right.
So the idea for me when I look at this, and I understand they just got
it. Were the four teams he played, though?
Right. That's exactly the point.
I understand the four teams he played.
Packers.
I get it.
Yep.
I get it.
Panthers.
I understand.
There was one bad matchup. Saints.
Okay.
Saints. That was the 31, the one who finished QB 31.
Yep. So I understand
he doesn't
use his legs.
Last week, they played the Panthers.
I look at this as the idea that Tom Brady getting not only Antonio Brown, but you have a fully healthy Mike Evans, you've got Gronk, you've got Chris Godwin, you have time for them to be able to get together. And I understand everything that you're saying. There's the idea that he has four pass catchers that could easily be in the top 15 at their position, or Gronk could easily be top five. I understand what you're saying about the Rams. I just think that with what this Tampa Bay team will do, I just believe in it more than I don't believe in it. And I totally understand the Rams' defense. I understand everything you're saying. But when I look at Hall of Famer Tom Brady and what I've seen him be able to do and another piece, I'm more buying Tom Brady than not.
I got an idea.
What's that?
I feel like because we were able to execute it so smoothly in like 30 seconds with this trade we did between you, maybe there's like a subsequent trade involving my team in the show league.
Sure.
And Daniel's team in the show league.
Oh, yeah.
Around Tom Brady.
Everyone just wants my people, huh?
I was going to say, do one. I mean,
I'm on board with it.
We could find something that we could do. I could shave my beard if I don't win this bet.
Yeah.
If Daniel. So, I don't know. Let's
figure out. Well, we'd wait a year for you to grow a beard.
Right.
Hey.
That's not true.
Right.
I've seen Field shaving on the gram recently.
Yeah. All right. So.
Oh yeah, that's right. Haley gets my ear. Right. We could just make him shave his legs.
Ooh.
Do you know what? That might be good for my long term.
Right. Chapin might be on board with that. She might be rooting
still
for Daniel.
Gotten over the wrath of people. They got hard in the comments.
Yeah.
Right, so. Pause for a second here, Daniel. Maybe it's a board bet. I don't know. I just feel like, Daniel, your point.
You have him at 15. You're even lower than I am on Brady.
Right,
and Daniel has him at 10.
Totally get it. It's just a. I understand why. I understand what Daniel's saying. It's Tom Brady, right? Like, it's Tom freaking Brady. But the point that Matthew and I are making a pretty simple argument.
Totally.
The opponent matters. And,
yep.
And the only time the opponent mattered over the past 4 weeks, Tom Brady was 31st.
Understand
the three others where he was a great matchup, he was solid, right? Actually had his first week as a top-scoring quarterback since 2017 this past weekend. It's a bad matchup. It is. I'm giving credit to the Rams defense.
Yeah, it's hard to throw when you're on your back. Like, I get the argument of all the weapons, but, like, when Aaron Donald's sitting on top of you, like, it's hard to complete a pass. So,
I hear you.
Aaron Donald. Sorry, I think I called him Darnold, like he's related to Sam. But, Aaron Donald. But yes, anyway, so that's where we have, like, I'll say this right now, like, and maybe I'll look dumb. Wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last, but I'm writing my love-hate list later today. Tom Brady will make it this week.
It's all personal with Matthew and Tom Brady.
It's
just
absolutely
kidding.
Not. It's always about the matchup.
Daniel, I mean, do you want to do a board bet?
I hate this matchup for Tom Brady.
Yeah, let's do a board bet. I'll do a board bet with you.
So you think he'll be a top 10 quarterback? And I think
I do think he'll be a top 10 quarterback. What do you think he'll be?
I mean, I've got him at 15.
All right, so do you want to do...
What's the difference?
All right.
So you think he'll be... I'll give you top 13.
I'll take top 12.
Okay.
Oh, hey, now look at that.
Daniel, you're too much. That's why I love you.
Yeah.
All right, so...
So top 12, and is this for a player to be named in the show?
How do you want to do that? Do you want to do that part, or do you want to put a board bet on it? I don't know.
Let's put a board bet on it first, and then we'll see. I mean, I can't go 2 weeks in a row losing top 10 talent.
Like, if you're losing, your team's getting bloodletted just for...
Yeah.
Hey, I'll do that deal with you too, Daniel. Like me and you want a chance to win your player back. We'll go double or nothing.
Oh, that probably is actually a better deal.
Wow. Let me think about it. Let's come back to it at the end of the show. Let me think about that.
I have Tom Brady on my team right now.
I know you do. That's the thing. All right. Let me think about it.
So anyways, Tom Brady may or may not be a top 10 quarterback. That's to be decided later on in the show. We'll be back in just a minute to discuss more running back and other rankings. But first... Allow me to grab my iPad. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and batter-up, that you can't wait to catch up on your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then, save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gasoline again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. All right, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. An engine that continuously uses Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at FuelRewards.com. Good for you, buddy.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Thank you. Let's get into our running back rankings. And so Joe Mixon is a conversation, but we don't know whether he's going to actually practice today. I have not checked Ben Baby.
I'm going on Twitter right now.
The Joe Mixon update account?
Yeah, at the official Joe Mixon update account.
You know what's funny? Hold on, that's actually pretty funny. So you guys, I'm sure many of you who are on Twitter are aware that yesterday the platform introduced fleets, which are available for 24 hours. They are pinned to the top of your timeline. I think they still read sequentially, or it might be an algorithm that pushes like your favorite follows up. Anywho, Ben.
Right. It's basically like Instagram.
It's comparable. Ben underscore baby. And please follow him on Twitter. He's a really great guy, too. He's joined the ESPN team a couple of years ago on the NFL Nation side and done a really nice job there in Cincinnati. He put a fleet up yesterday, and his fleet was, this is still a Joe Mixon update account. So he is certainly going all in on the accounts.
Right. At Ben underscore baby. And his last tweet does not have anything to do with Joe Mixon.
Okay.
So we have no updates from the Joe Mixon update account. But do give him a follow at Ben underscore baby. We're here. Look, and again, I've talked about this, you know, multiple times, but it's worth noting once again that at least how I do my rankings is that we have projections. And so if there's a projection in the game for the player, I rank them. And once that projection goes to zero, I will not rank them. So just to give an example, at the moment in our game, we have projections for Joe Mixon. We have a projection for Chris Carson. We have projections for some of these guys that we don't know if they're going to play or not, right? Because we're just, you know, but if he would play, this is what we think Joe Mixon would do. I have him sixth. If Joe Mixon plays, you're starting him, and he would do very, very well. But we just don't know the answer to that.
Right. We do not know the answer to that. So, as you said, you have him at six. I have him at seven. Daniel has him at five. At the end of the day, Joe Mixon, maybe he hasn't been what you expected him to be when he has played this year. We talk about this. I feel like there needs to be like a buzzer that I can sound.
Okay.
When I repeat a phrase that we use over 100 times during the course of the season, one of them is like, as we talk about all the time, there is zero depth at running back. Buzz, buzz, I don't know, ding.
Right, yeah.
So that is an example of something that we talk about all the time.
You know what we need is, do you remember geometry in grade school?
Grade school?
I mean, that's probably like 3 years ago.
I was going to say, it's like 40 years for you and 3 years. It's just not that hard.
And in
it's like asking, hey,
you were using a freaking abacus.
Say,
how
Matthew,
do you do geometry on an abacus? Right.
Matthew, do you remember collecting your first Social Security check? Like, it wasn't that long ago.
God.
Like,
oh,
it's okay.
Wow. We sort of walked right into that one, didn't I? Kind of just boop, 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 boop.
Hello, Field. Let me just lay this up to you. Let me stand under here while you dunk on me. Thank you, Mr. Field.
That was good job, Barry.
Sorry.
Nice job. Anyway, in geometry, for those of you who don't remember it, but in geometry, remember, you know, they had postulates. You know, like when you were, they would have all these rules in terms of, you know, various, you know, figures, and I'm not describing it particularly well, but they had postulates. you know, postulate 3 means this, postulate 5. So they didn't have to go through all the math to get to that as a shortcut. So I feel like we should have postulates for fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, and just like, so instead of saying, well, you know, there's, you know, is this tight end any good? Not really, but because the position is so awful, you know, yes, we think he's a viable play this week. You could just say like, postulate 4. You just say that.
It's postulate,
you know, it's a postulate 4, and everyone
it's
knows.
Like autocorrect, right?
It's autocorrect. That's
or
the
not autofill is what I mean.
Autofill, exactly. Yeah. It's a postulate 4.
Yep.
All right.
So, okay.
Anyway,
so that it is. Anyways, there are very few good running backs. If Joe makes some plays, you're playing him on Sunday. That's our breakdown of him. Our Generation Rising is brought to you by EA Sports NFL Madden. And the player of focus this week is Nick Chubb. Shout out the Browns, right, Haley? He faces off against the Eagles on Sunday. Matthew, you have him at 10. I have him at 16. Daniel has him at 7. Eagles have been pretty solid against running backs this week. I don't have a great case as to why I have him as low as I do. I think probably at the end of the day, though, you're still starting him no matter what.
They're giving up the 5th most points to opposing running backs. The Philadelphia Eagles are.
Really, 5th fewest.
5th fewest? I think it's. Are they 5th? Okay. Either way, I mean, listen, Wayne Gallman.
I think the red is. I just assume when it's red, it means it's bad.
It's not red on mine.
Oh.
But anyway, regardless of that, they gave up 2 touchdowns to Wayne Gallman last week. You know what I mean? Like if you'd have been like, oh, I don't want to start Wayne Gallman against the Eagles, you'd have regretted that decision.
Yep.
Nick Chubb is one of the best running backs in the NFL on a team that is going to use him a lot, very run heavy, had a very good game last week, and obviously would have been a lot better had he'd walked into the end zone on that final play. So Nick Chubb, who over his last 3 games has 119 rushing yards, he has 5 touchdowns in those last 3 games, like, you know, the Eagles do struggle in terms of their red zone defense, right? I mean, they're bottom 10 in terms of red zone defense. And so what do they want to do? Again, the game is in Cleveland this week. Don't know the weather forecast as of yet. We're on Wednesday. But, you know, you figure it's probably pretty nasty once again. And so I think the Browns have found kind of a formula for success. Like, we're going to run the ball. We're going to run it again. And then we're going to run a 3rd time.
Right.
And we're going to try to keep the Eagles off the field, and we're going to try to control the clock, and it's going to be a lot of Nick Chubb and a lot of Kareem Hunt. And I have both guys as top 12 plays this week.
Yeah, and there's probably merit to me moving Nick Chubb up a little bit in my rankings. Let's talk Zeke for a second, Matthew. It's sort of the reverse here. I've got Zeke at 10. You've got him at 17. So a similar split to how we have Chubb in the reverse order. So with Zeke, the reason why I'm more optimistic is, one, whatever we said, postulate 4 with hard-to-find running backs, but 2, yeah. I don't know. I just have an inkling here that the Cowboys are expected to have Andy Dalton back this week, right? The Cowboys are coming off of their bye week this week. If there was ever a time for the Cowboys offense to, like, just get its act together a little bit, this would be it. Zeke, not that I really was concerned about Zeke's endurance prior to the bye, but fresh legs following the bye and a Vikings defense that is quite literally middle of the pack against running backs this year. Zeke with his passing game usage plus all those carries. I just think that volume is going to land Zeke close to the top 10 again this week.
Maybe. The argument for Zeke, there's 2 arguments for Ezekiel Elliott, and here's what they are.
Okay.
Number 1, you just made it, volume. He's going to get a ton of volume. Number 2 is that you're right. You know, he's Ezekiel Elliott in capital letters,
right.
And you know, you have to hope that, right, with Andy Dalton back in 2 weeks to figure out this offense, maybe they get better. Here's the concern for me. And I have Ezekiel Elliott at 17, running back 17. So he's been running back 30 or worse for 3 straight games.
Yep.
Right? He's not getting involved in the passing game, right? Last 3 games, 7 targets, which is shocking because, you know, previously with Dak under center and all of last year and 2 years, like, he's been a big part of the passing game. In the 4 games post-Dak, he has 1.8 touches for every 1 touch for Tony Pollard. With Dak, that was 5.7.
Yeah.
It's been much more of a committee with Tony Pollard than it had post-Dak. I get it somewhat of that.
There's a theory there. Theory I have is that they're sort of manufacturing touches for players because the passing game is so bad. Or they had Ben DiNucci and Garrett Gilbert that it's like, you might have to run a few more jet sweeps and, you know, shovel passes and things like that to get someone like Tony Pollard involved. I think the offense will be a bit more traditional under Andy Dalton, and it'll be more of the Zeke show.
Sure.
We're both starting him. I have a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super nervous. I mean, I I traded for Ezekiel Elliott in a dynasty league where I'm like, you know, I'm one of the top teams in the league. And so I'm selling out for, you know, sold out for the future. I traded a first round pick and some other pieces to get him.
Recently
or
wow.
Like 4 weeks ago. And then Dak goes down and it's been like, great, I just traded like all these future assets for a running back that's not even top 30. Like, he's been brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the concern. They're not getting into the red zone. They're not using him in the passing game. He doesn't look like the same guy. The offense looks like it's stuck in the mud. I don't think this is as good a matchup as it was a month ago. The Vikings are playing with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and they shut down the Bears running game, whatever. Who doesn't shut down the Bears running game? But I'm just saying, like, the Vikings are a hot team right now, and who knows if the Cowboys are feeling themselves or they're just like, you know, there's talks of dissension within the ranks there.
Right. Yeah.
You just don't know what's going to come out there with the Cowboys. There is much more risk to Ezekiel Elliott than there ever has been in his career.
No question about that. Daniel, you kind of look like Tim Allen from Home Improvement. His name was his name Allen from Home Improvement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we like to do on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus.
Right.
So Daniel is as an actor, Daniel is very game.
Yes.
He is very, like, he's up for anything. Like, we have yet to write something for Daniel where he has said, I won't do that. He is a gamer. And what he makes up for in gumption and attitude, he lacks in range.
A little bit.
Yeah. Basically, Daniel, we did a sketch on the fantasy show once where we just talked about the fact that literally, like, we do a thing where Daniel's kind of an old-timey prospector. He uses his old-timey prospector voice.
One of my favorite ones.
Yeah, when we do, when he does that, right? So when we do Welcome to Dumpsville, right? Daniel, go ahead.
Welcome to Dumpsville, population you.
Exactly. The problem is that every other character we ask Daniel to do sounds like old-timey prospector.
I'm not great with voices. That's what it comes down.
Yes, you are. You're so good. Whenever we do our producer, Haley, she's from New Zealand, and whenever we have her on the show, we all try to do Kiwi accents, and they all stink, except for Daniel.
Well, I'm bad at times.
I haven't done one.
Well,
Haley is saying to me right now. And that's the reason why, because mine's terrible.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So is mine, by the way. Daniel, try a Kiwi accent. Try a New Zealand accent.
Right? What you saying down on the Bobby? Why don't you say, me and the chap going to do a rugby ball down by the, I don't know. Give me a Foster.
Yeah, it's like an old-timey prospector who went to New Zealand for a week. Like, that's what that is. Like,
I just want to ask a question. The whole time,
anyway,
you're wearing the
overalls, and like, it's old-timey prospector. You're feeding into it.
Real quick question on Zeke. We have a lot of questions, and we've gotten a ton on Twitter about, should I trade this player for Zeke? Should I trade this player for Zeke? Should I trade this player for Zeke? Should I trade Zeke for this player?
Okay.
At this point, is there any way, in all honesty, that you can move Ezekiel Elliott for, one, anything that would be of value based on what his talent level is, and two, at this point, does it make a difference because you just need something rather than nothing, or is his upside still too good for you to even move on regardless of how bad he has been consecutively
in
a row?
So that's a great question, and I want to reframe it slightly a different way for you, Field.
Good. I'm ready.
Is, if you had Ezekiel Elliott on your team and you were looking to move him, are you trying to move him now with the idea of like, hey, they're off the bye and Andy Dalton's back and they're going to be better, but his value is obviously still taking a hit because he's not the top three guy that he was.
You're looking for one.
Or do you say like, hey, maybe this is the game. He gets into the end zone. He has 100 yards, and then you can sell Zeke on look, he's back.
Yeah.
So my question is, when's the time to try to explore a trade for Zeke Elliott? Because the trade deadline in ESPN Fantasy Leagues is within 1 week.
That's right.
So my question is, are you doing it this week or next week?
I'm doing it this week. Because this is bird in hand, right?
Right.
So, like, whatever offer you have right now, you're going to have. Whereas if you're – and I'm just making this up.
Yeah, sure.
If someone said – if I had Zeke and you offered me – or whatever, you have Zeke and I offer you James Robinson right now.
I'm taking it.
So you would take James Robinson over Zeke, right?
Yeah. And, by the way, Jacksonville's schedule is bad down the stretch.
Right. And I agree,
and
by the way.
But I would still take the dude.
James Robinson. But let's say you think to yourself,
which is
like –
crazy to
I know,
think
it's
about.
Absurd.
Right.
But – I think sometimes in fantasy football, we do have a perception issue, right, where, like, Zeke has inflated value because he's Zeke.
Robinson is an undrafted rookie for a bad team.
We still don't really know him. There, you may be saying to yourself, like, all right, let's just say that the current offers are as high as, like, James Robinson, but as low as, like Kareem Hunt.
Right. I would take Kareem Hunt too.
Right.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Let's say you have Ezekiel Elliott, and I have Ezekiel Elliott,
yep.
And you are making the and I'm making the playoffs.
Okay.
Would you do Austin Eckler? Like, let's say if I have Ezekiel, you have Austin Eckler, I'm making the playoffs, and I say I'll give you Zeke for Austin Eckler.
I would take the Eckler. I would take Eckler.
I would too.
Yeah. How about
if I'm making the playoffs? If I don't need to win, you know, I don't need a guy for the next couple of weeks.
It's really hard. What if, like, the floor is Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the ceiling is James Robinson? That's the problem, right? Like, if I told you you could have Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now for Zeke, would you take it?
1,000%.
Okay.
Because I think he's a – I mean, you know, if you look at sort of Mike Clay and all the, you know, the OTD stuff that he does, which is great, check it out on ESPN.com. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire's gotten unlucky, obviously, with the touchdowns. I think they're coming, right? So I would –
You're talking about
it
a little
that.
Bit right now?
Right, yeah. Here's a question for you. Would you go for – I'm trying to go even lower. Like James Conner, Ezekiel Elliott for James Conner.
I think about it.
Yeah,
I think about it. James Conner's passing game usage recently hasn't been quite as robust.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to say something that's ridiculous. All right.
No, but have at it. That's what
but with Alex show. Smith, the now quarterback of the Washington Football Team, is J.D. McKissic or Antonio Gibson too low?
What about a package deal? What about both of them?
I don't think I would do that. Here's what I will say. I think there is certainly. Very much within the realm of possibility that from this point forward, both one or both those guys outscores Ezekiel Elliott the rest of the way.
It's possible. McKissic especially.
Right, in PPR leagues. But I don't think I'm doing that deal.
Well, let's talk about McKissic. It's a very – so.
But, like, that's the range we're talking about.
Conclusion is that it's a really difficult time to assess the – between Ezekiel Elliott and Michael Thomas, there are no players more difficult to trade right now. Maybe Lamar Jackson, too.
Right, yeah. So then that's the other question then. So if you have one of those guys, is the advice basically saying, like, hey, man, it is what it is. Like, the potential upside of a Michael Thomas, of an Ezekiel Elliott, is or Lamar Jackson, is greater than whatever you could trade for. So you're better off just holding tight, rolling the dice, and hope they return to form.
How about this? If you have a deal right now that you would accept, okay, for a Zeke, I'd do it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Even if theoretically,
even if you're
you
taking 75 cents on the dollar,
I would do it.
Because by the way, I think where you're going with this, and I completely agree. Because if the bottom falls out this week, they're off
toast.
The bye.
Toast
with Andy Dalton, and he still is terrible. He has yet a fourth straight week of being an outside the top 30 fantasy running back.
Yep,
you've got nothing you can deal at all. Because then you're like, I wish I could take 75 cents on the dollar, because then you're looking at 25 cents on the
right.
dollar.
Yeah. So I agree. Yeah. Let's quickly talk about J.D. McKissic, which ties to Antonio Gibson. McKissic is 14th in my rank, 16th for Daniel, 19 for Matthew. If you told me a wide receiver was getting 29 targets over two games, I would say that guy is a top five option for me. J.D. McKissic has gotten 29 targets over the past 2 weeks, plus a dash of rushing game usage, Matthew. It's
yep.
hard for me to not play him right now. I don't think the method's going to change, and the matchup is great.
Over the last 2 weeks, he's the seventh best running back in fantasy.
Yeah.
Seventh best running back in fantasy. Bengals allow 5.2 yards per carry to opposing running backs. You know, they're allowing. But there's two reasons why I have him at 19 versus, you know, you have him at 14. So I'm slightly lower. There's two reasons. Number one is Bengals allow 3.6 running back catches per game. That's third fewest in the NFL. The other thing is that you think about how this game plays out. I don't think they're going to be in crazy comeback mode against the Bengals. I don't think they're going to struggle to move the ball as much as they have against other defenses.
Fair.
Where basically Alex Smith is looking around like, I got to dump it off. I got to dink and dunk it. That is his game. I mean, I get it. But that's my argument. It's just like, I think they'll be able to move the ball down the field vertically a little bit more successfully against the Bengals. I don't think he's going to be under nearly as bad a pass rush as he has been previously.
And that's why the Bengals have been quote-unquote successful in defending running backs in the passing game. Because
right.
no one has to throw the football to dump off running backs.
Correct.
They just jam it down their throat in the running game, and they throw for 300 yards to wide receivers.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I just,
exactly.
you know what? I am so inspired by the Alex Smith story.
It's
I
unbelievable.
Love Terry McLaurin. But besides that, like, there's just not a lot down the field that I think they'll be able to successfully utilize, which is why I'm a little bit more optimistic on you.
Listen, and we expect William Jackson, who's had a great year for Cincinnati in the secondary, to be shadowing Terry McLaurin. So maybe that's taken away a little bit here. And listen, he's a legit weapon. They like J.D. McKissic in Washington.
Sure.
To your point, the volume is just insane, and it's not a matchup that scares you. All of us have J.D. McKissic as a top 20 play this week.
After a long summer, the wait is officially over. College football is back, and so is an all-new season of your favorite Dr. Pepper-obsessed college football town. That's right. We're talking about Fansville. So brace yourself for all the on-the-field football drama and off-the-field Dr. Pepper flavor your eyes and taste buds can handle. Because even though you can't be at the stadium, you can still dress, cheer, and drink Dr. Pepper like a true fan. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today.
You know the pressure you feel heading into a fantasy draft?
It's the worst.
You want to make sure you're picking all the right guys, Field. You know, you want to get the job done. But whatever your strategy is, at the end of the day, it all comes down to who's on your team. You know, what we really need is something like ZipRecruiter for fantasy football. I think we should work on that. But ZipRecruiter in the real world, they make hiring easier than ever. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, scanning thousands of applicants and actively inviting the most qualified candidates to apply. So that way you can hire the right people fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter find a quality candidate within the first day. Man, imagine if we had something like ZipRecruiter during our fantasy drafts. We'd never lose. Try ZipRecruiter for free today when you post your job at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Let's get into some pass catcher ranks.
All right.
And I think this is sort of a Dallas Cowboys conversation about the wide receivers. We talked about Zeke just a minute ago. Vikings defense has been better of late, but still is a positive matchup for wide receivers. Is there a single Cowboys wideout that you would start right now?
Amari Cooper is like maybe.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a maybe. It depends on who else I have. Nothing that Andy Dalton has done, nothing that the Cowboys offense has done gives you any hope of confidence. You know, it gives you any level of confidence. Amari Cooper is super talented. So does CeeDee Lamb. By the way, so is Michael Gallup. I understand it hasn't been fantasy production-wise, but Michael Gallup is a talented NFL wide receiver.
Yeah.
And so it would not shock me, and to your point, still a positive matchup. It would not shock me if any of them or all of them have huge games. They absolutely could. We have seen Andy Dalton have success in the NFL for many years. We've seen those three wide receivers have success in the NFL. But we've also seen them look awful. So it's just how much do you put into, hey, they've got a bye week to figure it out? And the answer is I just don't know. So with the Andy Dalton under center, this is all small sample size, right? But, you know, Amari Cooper has a 22% target share from Andy Dalton, 27% reception share. Okay. Like, I'm at 28. You have him at 28 as well. Daniel's even more pessimistic than us at 34. Like, Amari Cooper is one of those guys, like, all he needs is one play.
Right.
He's a super talented guy. Like, so it's just, it literally is how lucky do you feel?
You know what's interesting is, here's how I wrap my head around it, is that I think there's only a chance that one of these guys will consistently produce. Like, if somebody is going to have, they have 7 games left, 7 solid games, I don't think it's going to be the two of them consistently fine. I think it's just one of them. I think Amari Cooper is the most likely. But let's say he has 7 for 70 and a touchdown on Sunday. I'm not banking on him being a lock-it-in starter the following Sunday just because this offense has been so, so bad so frequently. My point is that it's going to take multiple weeks for me to feel like if any of these guys show out consecutive games, that it's going to be a thing going forward. I have trepidation about this offense for the rest of the season. I miss you, Dak.
Right. 1,000%, by the way. Completely agree with everything you said, by the way. I think over the last couple of weeks, Dak Prescott has earned even more votes for his MVP candidacy. I mean, like, you know, like, oh, you didn't want to pay me, Jerry? Oh, now see what happens when you don't pay me? Yeah. Here's what happens if you don't. Here's what life without Dak looks like for you.
Ben DiNucci, Jerry, and Garrett Gilbert. Yeah.
And people thought Andy, I mean, like, we'll see. Because here's the other piece of it that we've touched on a little bit, but that to your point about sort of going forward, it depends on how this game goes. Because if Minnesota comes in, and again, Minnesota's won their last 4 straight, right? That's a hot team.
Yeah.
If they come in and they blow out the Cowboys, or even if they just win, you know, they win in a, you know, it is clearly a Vikings victory, right? Like, does this team, like, just completely quit? There have been a lot of rumors outside about, you know, that there is dissension within the ranks and that there's, you know, a semi-mutiny going on with the coaching staff, and you're hearing some off-the-record quotes. None of that stuff is good, right? Coming out of the locker room and questioning the play calling. But if they basically get them all together, but they listen, to their credit, they actually played tough against the Steelers before the bye.
They
hung in there. But so if basically they come together, they've spent 2 weeks, we got Dalton back, and like, okay, come on, guys, we can do this. The NFC East is awful. We still actually have a chance at winning this division. Let's go. But then they get blown out by the Vikings. There's a chance that the team is just like, you know what, ain't our year, whatever. Hey, agent, get me on a, you know, book me on the first flight to Bermuda as soon as the season's over. Like, and then you're just like, oh boy. Like, my point is like, I think the future value of the Cowboys after this game will be determined a lot by what happens in this game. And I agree with you, even with Dak Prescott and the offense rolling, Michael Gallup wasn't usable. They only had, only Cooper and Lamb were the usable fantasy pieces on a consistent basis. And now with Dalton under center, I agree with you, it's probably only one guy. It's more likely every game that it's going to be Amari Cooper, but you don't feel great about that. And everyone that you drafted on the Cowboys obviously has not returned the value.
Except for Dak, until he got hurt.
Dak
exceeded
amazing
expectations by a lot.
Once Dak
was
there, they were all great. Yeah. Cooper was great. Was great. Zeke was great.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
Even like Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz were getting you points. Like,
right.
Yeah. I mean, literally, Dak for MVP.
So I do want to talk about, actually, Daniel has a question.
I
have something for Thursday night.
Real quick, all right, because I got two things real quick, and then I want to talk about Christian Kirk, and we got to get to social questions. But I got two things on the Cowboys. One, I feel the same way about all of these pass catchers as I do about Zeke, when it's like, if you have an offer for them, I would absolutely take it, whether it's after this game because they have a big game. And there's no way to be able to know which one of them is going to be from my standpoint. I think this is absolutely more of a DFS tournament play, because you're probably going to have cheaper prices than anything that you would ever feel comfortable in a season-long setup. Does that seem fair?
Yeah,
that's fair.
That's
sure.
fair.
I think that is fair. So, agreed on that. If you have a deal in hand, or you can get a deal in hand for any of the Cowboys before this game, we would take it. Let's talk about Thursday Night Football. But I'll take the blame on this one. We need to alert people to something, because the game is tomorrow night and you can make a decision. Tyler Lockett, and this is a short week, so injury reports are projections more than they are actual injury reports.
Yeah.
Yesterday we learned that in the Seahawks injury report, Chris Carson was limited, Carlos Hyde was full, Tyler Lockett was a non-participant.
Yep.
Pete Carroll, I believe, is describing this as a knee sprain. Is that what it is right now?
Yeah.
He's got something. Now, again, as Stefania always tells us, Pete Carroll is like the most optimistic, and we all know this. But sometimes, and I don't mean that in the sense that he is misleading, but just that, like,
it's the old Monty Python sketch. Where, just a flesh wound. Like, the guy's arm is cut off.
Right.
Just a flesh wound.
Right.
Yep. I'm just telling, like, that's Pete Carroll.
So we're going to be strung along with optimism until Thursday, even if there might not be as much optimism as meets the eye. So, putting this on your radar right now. Like, if you have Tyler Lockett, stay locked in on the injury report today and then again tomorrow in case there are some potential names, whether it's a David Moore. We can talk about that. We will talk about that on the show tomorrow. But put that on your radar right now, because you might want to try to scour some waiver wire options. And Carlos Hyde could be a reasonable add as well.
100%. Like, those are two great points. There's a chance that Carlos Hyde is the starting running back and gets a lot of work against Arizona on Thursday night. So for those that are sort of sifting through the, you know, and I've seen him out there in a lot of leagues, obviously, because he was dropped with a hamstring injury. So there's a chance that Carson's out, Hyde is in, and gets a big workload, because they're not thrilled with, obviously, DJ Dallas or Travis Homer. You'll see some Alex Collins. And to your point, listen, Patrick Peterson most likely is going to be on DK Metcalf again.
We saw what happened.
Right? What happened last time, for those who don't remember, like, he truly shut down DK Metcalf, DK Metcalf had a bad game, and Tyler Lockett had a monster game.
Yep.
And so if Tyler Lockett were to miss, I'm going to just tell you, like, David Moore, and I think Field will agree with me, David Moore is a talented wide receiver. David Moore is a talented wide receiver who they like a lot in Seattle. So, like, again, for people that are playing, like, you know, one-game showdowns or anything like that on DFS, I think David Moore should be a popular pick Thursday night. But beyond that, like, if you're looking for a sneaky play, pick up David Moore. Just if Tyler Lockett were to be out of this game and we think there's a chance he misses, David Moore would be a really good play this week.
Last thing I'll say, because we have to get at least social questions, is that for all the greatness of Let Russ Cook, Pete Carroll said this a couple days ago. We all know how the Seahawks ran the football to a fault in previous years. Pete Carroll has said recently, we've kind of gotten away from ourselves a little bit. So I'm not saying that Russell Wilson all of a sudden becomes, you know, a lower-valued quarterback, or that DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, when healthy, can't be started and shouldn't be started as potential top 10 options. But I wonder if Seattle starts to get back to their sort of Seattle roots a little bit as soon as Thursday night. And I think the player that would impact most if he plays is that, like, if Carlos Hyde plays on Thursday night, which he's a full participant, and Chris Carson does not, like, it wouldn't stun me if DJ Dallas and Travis Homer combined for zero carries. If they said, hey, Carlos Hyde gets 20, Alex Collins gets 6, and that's how we run the football on Thursday night.
1,000%. Just to show, Field and I, as you guys know, are in a 16-team league. Like, I have DJ Dallas, yep, like, where I've, you know, used him a couple of weeks. I'm in first place of that league, by the way, NBD, no big deal. But today I released DJ Dallas. Like, to release a guy in a 16-team league, like, because everyone with a pulse is rostered in that league, but I agree with you, and I didn't want him. I knew I wasn't going to use him this week, and I didn't want him stuck on my roster, you know, because once the Thursday night game plays, he's locked for the week.
Okay, so let's get to these social questions, and we're going to rip through these quickly. This first one comes from Hunter DeLauder, who wants to know, is Damian Harris a set it and forget it start of the rest of the season? No. Damian Harris, really talented guy. You know what's amazing?
What's that?
He's on pace for over 1,250 rushing yards this season.
Wow.
And he missed three games.
Yeah, of course.
So obviously he's a talented runner. Problem is, he doesn't catch any passes whatsoever.
That's correct. And he sometimes gets vultured at the goal line. In the right game, in the right matchup, he's a starter, but I don't think he's a set it and forget it starter.
But
I agree with you.
Nice player. Seems like a good, solid, sturdy runner. He and Josh Jacobs in the same backfield at one point. That's crazy. College
Unbelievable.
Teammates. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you kind of see why Josh Jacobs was not always a starter in Alabama when you see Damian Harris run. All right, this one comes from Alex Weitzman. Sterling Shepard or Jerry Jeudy rest of season?
I'm going to say Sterling. This is really tough.
I agree.
Because I love Jerry Jeudy.
Me too.
I tried to trade for Jerry Jeudy with you in our Dynasty League, and you wouldn't give him up. It's super annoying.
First-round pick. He's hard for me to move off.
I get it. I don't blame you. That's why I wanted him. Anyway, I'm going to say Sterling Shepard, though.
Me too. It's close.
It's definitely very close, but Giants' schedule is really nice down the stretch. And, you know, Drew Locke banged up a little bit, and he's so inconsistent.
Back to the Bortles I actually like to see the Bortles experiment. But
yeah, why am I blanking on the
– Brett Rippon.
Brett Rippon, thank you. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Brett Rippon, right. So, Locke is no Locke to start this week.
Right.
I can't believe it. It's like we're using quarterback play when Sterling's is Daniel Jones. But, yeah, I prefer Sterling Shepard,
I agree.
This year.
I agree. This one comes from Jeffrey Fuller. How will Travis Fulgham bounce back after Week 10, and what is his value for the rest of the season? You know, Jeffrey, I think the Eagles are going to say to themselves, what were we doing last week?
Yeah.
Why did we not get that guy more involved? He's been our best wide receiver this year. I understand that they like some of the other pieces they have, and Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz will be big focal points upon their healthy return, at least for Zach Ertz's healthy return. But they got to think long and hard about making Travis Fulgham a thing every single week. I think his value is like a top 25 wide receiver for the rest of the season.
I would agree. Travis Fulgham's a real deal.
Yeah.
And that's going to be more often than not, that's going to be a good passing offense. We'll see, you know, what it looks like with both tight ends and Jalen Reagor out there healthy. But we do both like Travis Fulgham. Yes.
Last one here comes from @BradleyShoop, who wants to know, Rojo, how do you project his value rest of season given his big game over the weekend?
RB9 on the season, guys.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Have we ever ranked a player in week 11 that's inside the top 10 so low or have so little confidence in that player?
Ye of little faith. The answer is how I would rank him, Bradley, is I would...
I'll take this one.
Okay.
I think I would rank him as a volatile top 20 running back, because the truth is that last week, you know, he fumbled and we're like, well, that's all she wrote. And then he comes right back out and obviously finishes, you know, and has a 95-yard touchdown run and, you know, finishes with whatever, 170 yards or whatever it was, a huge game. But then 2 weeks ago, like, he fumbled on Monday night and they were like, okay, see ya. And we never heard from him again. And the fact is the problem is that you have so many weapons in Tampa Bay. You obviously have Fournette in that backfield as well, and you have all the pass catchers. And so I would rank him as a volatile top 20 running back, and the kind of guy that you just basically, similar to some other players that we've talked about, Nyheim Hines is a cheaper version of this, basically you start him and you hope.
I got one.
Like, you can't bring him in and out because there's no rhyme or reason to when he has a big game or not.
This is shades of Chris Johnson late in his career with the Titans.
Yeah.
Like, he'd always finish the year top 10 in terms of overall points for running backs, But he'd also have games where he'd have like 14 carries for 32 yards. He would just offset those with 14 carries for 207 yards.
Right.
He was Chris Johnson. I know that's the extreme version, but that's what it shades of that with Ronald Jones. Let's pay this off, by the way, really quickly. Christian Kirk, man, I would certainly consider him this Thursday night. Great matchup for Christian Kirk, who has three games over 20 points in his last six outings, and five of them with 10 or more. Daniel Dopp, what do you got before we say
goodbye?
We're
going to do one quick thing for Geico Trivia here to close the show out. Can you guys name me the one wide receiver that has finished inside the top 15 at the position in each of the last 2 weeks? There is only one wide receiver.
You go first.
There's only one wide receiver that's finished top 15 each of the last 2 weeks. Davante Adams is my guess.
Jacoby Myers.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, my God. I was looking for the total. You were going for right down the middle. I was going for the curveball, and we both missed.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
We are back on Thursday to preview Seahawks-Cardinals big game. Mike Clay will be here. We'll talk to you then. In the meantime, follow everybody on Twitter, Instagram, and the like. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Peace out. I'm on the TikTok.